Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, last day of March 2021, 3/31/21, 16 minutes past the hour. And we want to thank the 68th governor of the state of Ohio, Ted Strickland, for coming on the program to discuss Senate Bill 22. I believe I said House Bill 22 earlier. Senate Bill 22, which would limit the power of the governor to make health orders. Governor DeWine did veto that bill, and it was overturned. And now we will go from here. So you heard Governor Strickland's thoughts on that. Now, before I get into other things this morning, I thought I would give the listening audience a chance to say what they would like to say about House Bill, or Senate Bill. See, I said it again. Senate Bill 22 and what Governor Strickland had to say. So give me a buzz here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz and we can discuss but what Governor Strickland had to say. Do want to let people know today that On the Air with Glenn Coble will be on 10 a.m. till 12 noon this morning, and then the Progressive Life will be on from 12:10 until 1 p.m., and then we will have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6:10 to 7 p.m. today, all here on this station. So if there is anything you would like to say in regard to what Governor Strickland had to say, well, about anything, not just the Senate bill, anything he had to say, give me a buzz. An interesting conversation this morning, I think. 740-383-9944. You know, the whole pandemic, the whole mask thing, the whole kit and caboodle here has really turned into a very volatile issue among most people. And I don't know exactly why that is on the whole, but, you know, what's going to happen is what's going to happen, I guess, at this particular point. What will be is what will be, I guess, is the best way to put that. So if you have anything to say, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. Now, I do want to let people know that clearly we are still operating at a lower wattage than normal, but we think we have isolated the problem, so hopefully we will be able to move forward with this whole issue and have it fixed in short order. That would be the best thing. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I don't know what you're doing because I can't pick you up on my radio.
Yeah, we last night we sent some. It's been kind of tough the last couple of days because of the weather to get up to look at the tower to see what's going on. But we had some people look at it last night, so we're still working on it. Hopefully we will have it fixed in short order, because I think we have isolated what the problem was, and hopefully we'll know more today.
Yeah, because I have a little transistor radio I just got, and nothing on it. But today, after today's show, could you give me a call?
Sure.
You have my number, probably.
Yeah, I do. I think it's on the caller ID here.
Okay, because your voicemail's full. I've been trying to get you a couple of days or so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll work on it.
Okay, yeah, because I can't hear you. So, okay.
All right, thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye. Yeah, you know, we are having those issues right now, but we will work through them, and as soon as we get the problem fully fixed, we will let everybody know that the problem has been fixed. But luckily, thank goodness, you can listen on the TuneIn app, which, again, is always free. All you have to do is, get out your mobile device, your cell phone, your tablet, or even your computer. Your smart television will even do this. And download the TuneIn app, which is free. And you can listen to us anywhere in the world by searching WWGH. You can go to the website, WWGH1071.com, and listen to us. Or you can turn on your Alexa or your Google or anything like that and pick us up. Now, around the city, you know, it's still strange how this wattage issue is working, because when I sit in my driveway, I can kind of pick up the station. Now, it certainly is not perfect, but I can tell, I can hear what's going on in the background. Now, as I get to the McDonald's on Route 95, I can hear a lot better. It almost clears up there. Now, to the south end, we've had people say they can hear us on Barks Road. To the north end, I think was Wyandotte Popcorn is where we dropped out. And on the west end, yesterday we had some reports that we were being heard on the west end, a fairly decent range. And a lot of this does depend on the weather, unfortunately. And we had another rainstorm last night, which is preventing a lot of things from getting done. But we are going to continue to work on this problem and get it fixed as soon as we can. But if you'd like to call in any reports this morning about where you're listening from or how you're listening or what you thought of Governor Strickland's interview, please feel free to do so, 740-383-9944. Also, if you had any thoughts or comments you would like to add from yesterday's conversation in regard to my trip to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and I think Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I think that's all I got through yesterday, was talking about being in Hershey and being in Lancaster, going to the Hershey factory and taking the tour, and then going to Lancaster and eating at the Shady Maple, which is a huge buffet in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So I think that's as far as I got. But if you'd like to break in and talk about anything at this point, please feel free, 740-383-9944. Now, well, we'll take this phone call, and then we'll come back to this momentarily here. Go ahead, caller.
I was just seeing if you're on the air. You are, but I'm not transmitting out here in South Marion.
No, we had an issue Friday after the windstorm where I think some damage was done, and we've been trying to get people up there all weekend to fix the problem, but with the weather, it's been a little bit of an issue, but hopefully we'll have it fixed soon.
Well, you sound good over the telephone. What's going on? Anything? Are you at the station now talking?
I am at the station now. Yeah, we...
Are you transmitting over the air at all?
Yeah, we're going out a little bit of a distance.
I got you.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, just not as far as it once was. So we are going out, and we're on the internet, so we still have that available. But hopefully, we'll have this problem fixed, I would say, hopefully soon.
Well, I was up through town, and I said to myself, hey, self, why don't you stop here at that old United Cigar store? So I did, and I went in there, and I found it very, very, very nice place. And I went up and down it, took my time, looked around, and both of the women working in there, one older, and of course I'm considered older myself, so I'm allowed to say that word, but you'd have a hard time calling somebody older, Scott. You'd say, well, you young slipper snapper, you don't call me older. But anyhow, I knew both of them, and so I was in the car, and I had I punched the radio on. You'd come in clear up around that area over the car radio, but through the satellite, I guess that's what I do on the radio today, that goes through the satellite and bounces back down. Is that right?
Yeah, well, according to people, we had people call in yesterday. I guess we're going out north as far as Wyandotte Popcorn. We're going out east as far as McDonald's, south to Barks Road. And
yeah.
The west end, yeah, I'm not really sure on the west end how far we're going, but...
Yeah, about equivalent to that, something like that. Just depends, like I say, in your automobile, you turn left, right, north, south, east, west, and there's a variation picking up the satellite, you know, on that station. But yeah, well, okay, Scott, I hope everything works out all right. And I was going to mention something else that I done there. About the cigar store. I think that everything's fine in there, but you know what? I was really surprised they had the front door open. Now, to me, the front door would be the door on the north side of the building that would be facing towards the courthouse there. And, boy, you can drive a car right through that front door right in the main thing. It's right there on the street. And I said, man, if the Leafs this fall, if they have that door open, they'll have a bunch of leaves in their building.
Now, were there a lot of people in there when you were in there?
Well, you know, Scott, I saw three or four leaving when I was going in, and then there was about four or five in there counting myself. And I was going to purchase something there, and then I didn't purchase something, but I was looking around, and there was a woman there, and she said, I don't know how we got a little conversation there, and I said, have you lived in Marion all your life? And she said, yeah, except for about 6 weeks. And I wasn't paying attention right there. I was looking right over her shoulder at something there on the shelf there, a piece of merchandise there on the shelf. And she said, then I moved back here. Now, I didn't know when that was, her little girl or nothing, but I wasn't interested in that, you know. I just asked her that. And so I found out that she is a sister of a classmate that I went to school with all the time. And I said, I'll be darned. I said, I never knew that Mike had a sister. So that was I found that out. And then the other woman that was there, she probably about 45 or 50 that I knew of. I knew her father and her uncle well, real well. So both women, and there was two women in there that, and I found out that I knew both of them. So I had a happy time in there talking to them and reminiscing a little bit. And when I left there, I went down to the county building. I said, you know what? I've heard about the mural in there and this and that. And I went in there and I witnessed that and the pictures on the Marion people that was involved in the Vietnam War that passed away in that, and I found it very interesting. So I went to two places in Marion, and both of them was very interesting to me. And when I say that, they must be, you know, all authority on interesting things.
Well, I'm glad to hear you got out and about, and both places were good. You know, that this market down here, we've heard somewhat about it, but, you know, it doesn't seem like it's getting the attention or the business that maybe a lot of people expected.
Well, you know what I found out, Scott? On myself, I was going to go by there, and I thought, no, I'm right here. I'm going to go in and witness it. And if you don't witness something that there, you can just take all that he said, she said, they said, we said, and you can just take and put it in a little basket and carry it around with you the rest of your life. You got to witness it yourself and then get your own opinion.
That's for sure. You got to get your first-hand knowledge and your first-hand look at stuff like that.
It was very neat, very clean, and very attractive in the sense that it's arranged and set up different than a little market you'd think about. They got it. It's very, very, very nice and neat and clean, I'll tell you that. And the prices, I looked at that. Of course, everybody would say, well, what are the prices? I can look at the prices. They are not extremely high or nothing. They're a little bit higher, but in my own mind and conclusion I come to, that's what that was set up for. And I told people, and they said, well, I didn't know anybody was living downtown. I said, I think there's more people living around in the buildings existing downtown than what we know about. We don't hear about that as much, and nobody comes, and you can't, you know, really witness that. I have witnessed some of them, different places downtown, and like across from you, I had friends from Arizona that stayed during the popcorn festival in the Euler Building lofts areas there. I went up and witnessed those myself, and my golly, I think there was 32 steps. I went up this one across there where a bookstore was on the corner of Prospect and Center Street. But I had that, but I have those are the only two. two that I know that was livable quarters, but there must be more than what we witnessed. And getting back to the grocery store combination there, if the price was a dollar more, even say on an article, you could not, if you was living in one of those places and preferred living downtown like that, you could not own a car, drive it back and forth to another area where the groceries were sold with the taxes on, the gasoline and the upkeep on your car and the insurance. So if you eliminated owning a car, and if and like you said, you'd ride a bus if you could get it. It was, the schedule was pretty daggone close to operate your business like you have to. I think there would be a lot of people would say, hey, I just won't need a car because I go from A to B and this and back, and this is satisfactory. So a dollar more maybe, or maybe 50 cents or nine, that seems like a lot on a product. If you don't have to go anywhere else to get the same brand name and stuff that was in that store there, that I can't. What is the proper name of that store there? I left the daggone thing. I looked up there at the marquee, and I seen, is that the corner store?
I think it's called the Center Street Market.
Is there a market on that? Okay. I wanted to remember that, but looking at stuff and trying to remember, I can do that and walk away and forget it. Just drop the hat, but if I really set my mind to it, I'm going to pay attention to that. But that, whatever that is, that everybody knows the old cigar store. That's what I told the woman. She said, yeah, she remembered as a young person, too, that it was real narrow in there and stuff. But I'll tell you, it's anybody that's listening can hear the voice. Give it a try when you can get out of bounds, and here it's going to get a little chillier and stuff. And I think the grand opening, whenever it was, the weather hasn't been right, but I bet you more people sees that. They will say the facility is absolutely nice.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad you had a good experience down there.
I did. I think there's more and more if we could take time to do it. But heck, you don't know who's open, who's not open, and stuff down along the area where you're operating out of, that what's a restaurant, what's a future of the restaurant opening, what is it gone as far as restaurant goes. And just like the county building, there was nobody was able to go in the front entrance. And then I noticed one day I was down there, and there was no cars parked at the proper angle you're supposed to park on that street, you know. And I thought, wonder if they give that idea up. And yesterday there was about 8 cars along that. Whether you went in the front door, I wasn't going to be humiliated parking at that angle. I was going to, I went right around back, and I went in the back side of it and witnessed the mural on the wall and the pictures on the wall of the people that give their lives to the Vietnam War.
You know, and they should be recognized. That was such a horrible war, and the veterans were treated so badly when they came back. I'm glad that they are getting their due.
Well, I'll tell you, the picture on the wall, naturally you can't read underneath there, but what the cool thing is, they're all numbered, and then down there right by the railing where you can stand there and just look right down, like looking at a book there. It's got all the names and all what they done, their parents' names, and the schools they went to, and this and that. And I found it very interesting. I spent about around 45 minutes. I read every one of them and everything there that was there. It was very interesting to me. I think a lot of them, their death come around the year of 1966. So that was interesting to me there that, not interesting, but knowledgeable to know. And they went to the county schools that we all recognize, you know, River Valley and this and that, Harding and all of them. So I thought it was a very, very interesting thing, and anybody that wants to see that, just take plenty of time and look at it, read it, and enjoy it the way it's supposed to be meant. And I found that very, very interesting there.
I can understand. Well, I appreciate you giving us an update.
Okay,
Okay, Scott, you take care. I'll catch up with you later.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, and there you have it, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you have anything to say. We would love to hear from you. It's interesting, Governor Strickland being on this morning. I think I was getting some messages on Facebook during that social media about what people were thinking, and you know, some agree and some do not agree, I guess, when it comes to how the former governor felt. But I guess you have that in every situation. But if you'd like to speak out, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. Also, if you have anything to say about what's going on in Marion, like our last caller there, we'd love to hear from you. And right now, we like to hear about where the station is picking up or how you are listening with our little bit of voltage issue going on right now, which we should have fixed in short order. The weather has caused a problem with this, but we are working strong to fix it. And also, we'll have some big news maybe in the next 4 or 5 days as it concerns the station as things change, which I think will be a good change. Everything for the better. Phone lines are open again, 740-383-9944, 36 and a half minutes past the hour on this Wednesday morning. Wednesday already. Last day of the month of March. We head into April tomorrow. Who would have ever thunk that? How about that? All right. Well, I was going to talk a little bit this morning about the trip to Philadelphia. As I said yesterday, spent the weekend in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and then went to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and found both of those places very interesting. The Shady Maple Buffet in Lancaster was a huge buffet, huge place that I think we all well, there are people on social media who were commenting on the pictures I put up yesterday who have been to this place. It was recommended to them, and I think everybody's amazed who goes there by the selection of the food. And, of course, the Hershey Museum is a great place, along with just the town or the city or however you would want to call Hershey, Pennsylvania. It's such a little sort of a hamlet of a place that I just find it interesting. Not a big metropolitan area, just a very relaxed community. And it makes it nice when you stay there. That's definitely a plus. Now, Saturday night, after, as I say, I was on this trip with Angie. We went to Hershey, and then we went to Lancaster. And then after Lancaster, we thought, well, let's go over to Philadelphia. We were only about an hour and a half away from Philadelphia. So we head over to Philadelphia from Lancaster, and the traffic in Philadelphia was just, it really was awful on Saturday night. Now, I don't know why this is, but Philadelphia has some of the narrowest streets in the world that I've ever seen. And it's very hard to travel down these narrow streets. Now, Philadelphia is a beautiful city. You look around at the high-rises and the historic buildings. And as far as that goes, Philadelphia is great. But it's one of those cities that is very hard to navigate if you come in by car, and it's also one of those cities that has a lot of one-way streets. So if you get off in the wrong area, it's going to be hard to rewrite yourself to get back to the right area of where you would like to go. So in any event, we go into Philadelphia on Saturday night and circled around the city a few times before we were able to find a parking space, but we were able to find a parking space, and it was great because it was one of those parking spaces where you didn't have to pay. It wasn't a parking garage or anything like that. I think it's because we came in at night, and the parking restrictions were pretty well gone at that time, and we did not have a big long distance to walk to get to Independence Square. Now, if you have not been there, Independence Square is pretty much where all the historic buildings and landmarks are, at least the big ones. The minor ones, I'm sure, are in other places, but the big ones are right there in Independence Square. And what's interesting about Independence Square to me is that the road in front, well, there's the big square, which is the big park, and then there's a road, and then there are buildings, Constitution Hall, and several buildings there where a lot of very important things went on. Now, they are barricaded, which I don't know if that's because of what went on earlier this year, that those buildings are barricaded, and security out in front of those buildings, very visible security the entire time we were there. Has anybody else been to Philadelphia to see those buildings? Was all that barricade up? And what I mean by barricade, it was kind of like big concrete parking barriers is what it reminded me of in front of Constitution Hall and all of that. And then there were guards standing out there. But you could stand across the street, and as I say, the streets are very narrow, so you could see pretty much everything going on across the street. And there is just a feeling about being down there that I felt that this is where the Constitution came to be, that this is where the laws that have governed this country for more than 250 years were born, and all these minds that put this together were there at some point. And it's got that type of mystique. And that mystique is probably, to be honest with you, brought on by the park, the square, the buildings, the historical markers, all of that. Just a great mystique down there. And then you have the square. The square itself is just a beautiful grassy area with benches. And in the middle of a big city like Philadelphia, that's a very nice thing to have. This big park right in the center. Now, the building that the Liberty Bell is in, now this is what fascinated me. The Liberty Bell is kind of encased in glass. Now, it's part of a building, but it's in part of a building that is glass. So, even if you get there after hours, which we did, you can still take a picture in front of the Liberty Bell and see it because it's in a glass encasing. Now, what was odd about this to me? Now, I don't know if it has anything to do with the buildings or what, but they had all this security and all these barriers in front of Constitution Hall. And then just across the street, not even a mile away, here's the Liberty Bell with no security that I saw, really no barriers, just glass in front of it. Now, it's great because people should be able to visit it and should be able to take pictures in front of it, but really nothing over there. And you know what I think about when I looked at the Liberty Bell? Of course, it's cracked, and we all know that. And I wonder why it's cracked. Now, obviously, something happened somewhere along the way where it cracked. But I wonder how a cracked bell got to be the symbol of this country. You know, when you think about that on a whole, if it's not something you already know, which of course we already know that it's cracked, and we already know that it's the Liberty Bell, and we already know it's a symbol of this country, but if you didn't know all that, and you thought a cracked bell is the symbol of the United States of America, why did they use a bell that was cracked? And I don't know the story on that. I have not looked the story on that up as of yet. But I just find that fascinating. And even if it was cracked by accident, which I would think it was probably accidental, why would we use a cracked bell as the symbol of liberty? Who knows? But if anybody has any thoughts on that, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Fascinating, fascinating area. Now, we continued to walk down the street there next to Independence Square. And there are a lot of signs on those streets directing you to the historic areas, because there are a lot of them in that particular area. And one of the signs caught my eye, and it said Ben Franklin's grave, burial site, or something of that nature. And Ben Franklin, as many of you know, who've listened to this program for a long time, is somebody who I think is a very important historical figure. I think sometimes he doesn't get his due because he was older when the Constitution and the Revolutionary War and the start of this country was all going on. A matter of fact, I believe he died in 1790. So he was really only around for 14 years after this country was founded, because he was an older man. He was born in the early 1700s. I believe 1706 was when he was born. So I think sometimes he doesn't get his due for all that he did, and a lot of people considered him too elderly to take big positions in this country by the time this country was formed. So I'm a Ben Franklin fan. So I see that Ben Franklin's grave is around this area. Well, I've got to stop and see that. And it's interesting because it's a hugely metropolitan area. Aside from this big park, you know, Independence Park, it's all very busy streets. It's Philadelphia. It's businesses. It's the United States Mint. It's the museums. It's just a hugely metropolitan area, parking garages. So we start to walk down the street where the sign that says Ben Franklin's grave is. So we're walking down, and we pass through Constitution Park, Independence Park, and we're still not there, and there are still signs that say Ben Franklin's grave. And we go down maybe about a mile, and you see across the street that there is an old cemetery. And it's very uniquely out of place, because here we are in the middle of this skyscraper city, and right here is this old, tiny cemetery. And I'm not sure how wall-to-wall big this cemetery is, but it does not take up much of a lot at all. So we cross the street, and then there's the sign that says Ben Franklin is buried here, and you can see through the gate Ben Franklin's grave, which is right next to the street. And then there are plaques up on the wall denoting all Ben Franklin's accomplishments and quotes of his. And it's just an old cemetery, but there's Ben Franklin buried with his wife. I think her name was Deborah. But there is such a feeling for me in that particular area. It just, there's something about being around the grave of Ben Franklin that I find interesting. I know a lot of people like to go to cemeteries in general, and to be honest, I'm one of those people, especially historic cemeteries. People walk in cemeteries, people like to go to historic cemeteries, people like to go to battlefields. Cemeteries I find interesting, to know that the body of Ben Franklin, this man who was so important to this country, is in this particular area. I just find it fascinating, and I'm glad that in the city of Philadelphia that such homage is paid to him, that his grave is visible, the graveyard is open to the public, that, I'll tell you one funny thing, though, and this would only be during pandemic times, that there is a bulletin board outside of the cemetery, And on the bulletin board, it tells you that if you go into the cemetery, you have to wear a mask. Well, there's a picture of Ben Franklin, who's probably the most famous person buried in that cemetery. There's a picture of Ben Franklin with a mask on this bulletin board. So I found that fascinating. I thought it was interesting. I thought that all these people in Philadelphia, through a tough time, the pandemic, which I'm sure has hurt them visitor-wise and attraction-wise, at least are able to have a sense of humor about it. Put Ben Franklin in a mask and put his picture up on the bulletin board. But I love that. I love that area. I just thought that Philadelphia, really to me, there's something about Philadelphia, and I wonder why more schools don't take a trip to Philadelphia rather than Washington, D.C. Now, nothing wrong with going to Washington, D.C. Obviously, we always hear about the White House and the things that go on in Washington, Capitol, the monuments. But Philadelphia is really where it all started. And I just, the city is a hopping city. Now, I'm going to tell you something interesting that happened. I'm going to tell a story kind of on myself here in Philadelphia. So, Angie and I are on the street across from Constitution Hall, where the Constitution was signed. So we're standing there, and we're taking pictures and things like that. Now, I'll give you a little backstory. About a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago now, we went to a shop, and they had old, I don't know how old they are, but let's just say they had bow ties for sale. And these were bow ties that were very nice bow ties, and they were clip-on bow ties. And I like to use bow ties for certain things, you know, certain pictures, certain occasions. You know, I think they're very interesting. So I bought these bow ties a couple weeks ago, and I threw them in the suitcase when I was getting ready to leave to go to Hershey, Philadelphia, and Lancaster on Friday, when we left on Friday. So on Saturday, I thought, you know, it's a beautiful day outside. I'm going to just wear one of these bow ties. I've got a collared shirt on. I'm going to wear a bow tie. And, you know, I knew we were going to be taking a lot of pictures at the Hershey Museum and in Lancaster and in Philadelphia. Why not wear the bow tie? You know, it'll show up in pictures. So and then I'll get some use out of these bow ties that I had purchased. So I bought the bow ties, and I wore one out that morning. Now, I really didn't think much about it all day. No real reason to think about having a bow tie on. So I'm down in Philadelphia that night, and I'm in front of Constitution Hall, standing in Constitution Park taking a picture. And this younger couple, probably in their 20s, is walking by. And Angie was snapping a picture of me, I think in front of Constitution Hall is when this was happening. So this couple, I think the guy said, what went on in there? He said something like that. What went on in there? What went on in there? And I said, well, that's where they signed the Constitution. And he goes, oh, that's very interesting. And he kept kind of going on. And I thought, you know, well, first of all, you're in Philadelphia and you're walking through Constitution Park. I would think that you might know what this is. But then I thought, well, I wonder why he asked me why or what was going on in this building, what had gone on in this building. Well, Angie leaned over and said, it's because you have a bow tie on. They think you work here. Now, that may have been, I don't know, that may have been the reason. They might have thought that because I had a bow tie on, that I was an aficionado of the city of Philadelphia, and I knew all that went on in Constitution Hall. At least that was At least that was Angie's explanation for it, which is certainly fine by me. Certainly don't leave us today. We have got so much more coming up here on WWGH Radio, 10 a.m. till 12 noon today. We've got Glenn Coble joining me to discuss various topics of progressive life from 12:10 to 1. Offbeat news and trivia with Nate Redman from 4:10 to 5, and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday sermon from 6 to 7. And so much more that we will talk about in regard to Philadelphia in the next hour. We're going to enjoy talking about this. It was a great place. Now, does anybody have anything to say about Philadelphia? Because I'm going to continue on next hour, but I'm kind of bringing this hour to a close. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody else find Ben Franklin as interesting as I do? For me, it's Ben Franklin. If I look at those early figures, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, people of that nature, I tend to always gravitate toward Ben Franklin. So finding, by accident, I had no idea it was down there, his grave is right in downtown Philadelphia, was really a fascinating moment for me. And I love that it is on display and that he's on display in that particular city. All right, looks like we're getting a call here. Let's go to the phone lines. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, who is this?
This is Scott.
Scott, well, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Well, not very good. I can't get your station on my radio.
Yeah, I tell you, we're having a little technical issue with the tower right now. Some people were up there last night, and I know they're going up there again tonight. Hopefully the weather's good enough that we can fix the issue.
Oh, I just wondered, because we try to listen to you about every morning, and we ain't been able to get you for a couple days.
Yeah, Friday, I think it was the windstorm. Now what we have learned is caused some damage, but we're working on that, and hopefully we'll have it fixed very soon.
Well, I hope so, too.
Well, hey, I thank you for calling.
Well, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And again, I do want to remind people about that is why we are on the air. In an area right now, a small portion of Marion, over the air, about to the 95 McDonald's and north to Wyandotte, Barks Road, I think, right now, and west, about the same distance to the west part of the city. But it's just an issue that happened with the windstorm Friday, and people have been checking it out, but the weather has been tough to work on anything outside at this point, but we will get it fixed as soon as we can. And again, reports of how you're listening, anybody who would like to give those, please feel free. Let's go to the phone lines here. Go ahead, caller.
Real quick, Scott.
Yes.
You guys want to be careful because I know you're going to think they're just being crazy again, but did you ever stop and think that maybe the guy knew what was going on and he was just playing stupid and maybe he was a predator?
You mean in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Oh, so now, what do you? How do you mean?
Just what I said. Like, maybe he knew full good and well where he was at, what was going on, and he knew the answer to his question, and he was just trying to seem like some, well-meaning person, and he was really a predator.
Oh, kind of like a murderer, you're saying?
Well, I mean, you can use your imagination. We've all seen Dateline and Unsolved Mysteries and stuff like that, but, I knew you would do this, Scott. You weren't going to appreciate the fact that I was looking out for you guys.
No, I'm being totally appreciative at this point.
Did you have mace or anything?
No, we did not have any mace.
Okay, well, maybe you should have. That's all I'm saying.
No, I'm not trying to be facetious here.
I'm a creature of habit, Scott, and I cannot start my day without WWGH Scott Spearstow. And if you guys are out gallivanting around America, if you get mugged or you disappear or something like that, what's going to happen then?
Well, I don't.
There's no substitute.
You can call in and tell the guest host that, hey, I told him so, and now that's why he's not here.
And I did compliment that guest host. I said, you're a lot better at giving. He's a little ready with the hints on the Family Feud. We don't have to milk the hints out.
So you liked him better as Family Feud.
I would say better in general, just with the hint category.
Oh, the hint. Yeah, I'm not much for the hints because I can wait you
guys
out.
I don't have to work for it.
I can wait you guys out. I can sit here all day and talk.
Okay, well, safety first. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, who knows? I never thought about that. But he didn't pick my pocket, so I guess we're good. Hey, we're going to break, coming back with Glenn Coble right after this.
For legendary First Lady of Broadcasting in Marion, Madge Cooper.
If you have a new announcer and he's not from this area, sure that before he won or the first time, you said, it is not